We just trashed Jake and then he scores. The power we have.
I told you guys, they're waiting for his break and this is it. Now everyone's like, yeah, right decision.
It was worth it. I have Shotgun Jake muted on my thing because I hate all the videos.
Thank you, Jake, at 9 p.m. after we put you in our not hot segment for scoring. That was great. Shout out to the guy who told us that our references weren't timely. Yo,
Elias Pettersson put it into sport mode.
A hat trick for Fester.
Girls aren't as fast as boys.
Canucks. It's pronounced Canuck. I don't know hockey stuff that well.
You play ball like a girl!
Hello and welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us, your local hockey girl gang, to talk hockey, sports culture, and whatever else is going on in our brains this week, which I think this week is a lot. I'm Sam, and I'm joined by...
Georgia.
Mallory.
Vanessa.
And Danny.
So we'll kick it off with our usual vibe check. Just so everyone knows, it's Wednesday night. The Canucks are playing the Blues. It's game 5. I'm with it today, guys. Mel, how are you doing today?
I am here. That's about how I'm doing. I am here and I am watching the Canucks. I don't feel great about it. So I don't really know what else to say.
Sounds about right. Georgia?
I'm good. I'm meeting my... supervisor for my thesis in 2 days, so I have to make it look like I've done a summer of work, but I've really done it in 2 days. So that's going great. I have spent the last hour just rewatching the Tom Brenneman video where he apologizes for making a homophobic slur while calling a home run. I've watched that about 25 times, so that's how I'm doing.
Danny?
I'm doing good. I'm watching the Canucks game. I'm wearing the gradient jersey tonight. And yeah, I'm a little bit stressed watching this game. Hopefully they win. I think they're going to win tonight, but lose the next game. It's going to go 7 games and the Canucks are going to win in 7.
Vanessa.
I'm doing great. I had my last final today, so I am officially done undergrad. I'm free. I'm going to take a few months off now to relax and then probably go back to school in January. So
that's the way to do it. I'm like Mel, I'm here. I'm not great. I've had like a really rough week at work. It's been super busy and my brain is fried. I'm useless. This is going to be good. Vanessa's the only one out of all of us who was like, I'm great.
Yeah, I got nothing to complain about. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's true. Lows and highs. I've decided I'm going to permanently start with lows before we do the highs. I didn't want to use any of the lows this week because they're starting to get kind of boring. Like, guys, if you're going to insult us, can you come up with something a little more creative? Because we're really bored of it. And I need you to step up your game if you're going to be a misogynist. Just like, give me something that's entertaining. On that note, the low this week in my notes, I call it the failure that is the bitch cast, because there is so much potential to this parody account. It's hilarious, but we all know that you're not trying to be funny and there's just so much potential there. Like, you didn't even change the logo.
Also, it would have been like really funny if you would have like half-assed changed the logo, just like opened it up on like paint and just like put bitch instead. That would have been so funny, but like you need to like put in a little bit more work.
If you're listening, if you send me $20, I'll do it for you. No questions. I'll make you the logo.
For everyone else listening, because somebody else apparently suggested this, we are not in fact running bitch cast. I think you should do bitch cast 2.0 and have like a rival bitch cast.
It would be a lot funnier if we were. Like, the account would be hilarious if I was in charge of it.
Yeah, so bitch cast, you're our low, but not because we think you're offensive, because we think you're a disappointment, because just lazy. Don't be a lazy misogynist, like fucking be funny. Highs. We got a really nice 5-star review. It says, major step in the right direction. It's simply inspirational to listen to 5 intelligent, passionate women freely flow between lighthearted banter and important discussions of social inequality. Hockey culture can be so toxic, but you 5 are playing a huge part in changing the narrative of what it means to be a hockey fan. I've been listening to podcasts for many years now, but this one instantly became my favorite when the teaser was released.
So that one made us really happy this week, because that's kind of our sweet spot, is Georgia giving a lecture on whiteness and hockey and Canadian identity while talking about Taylor Hall and Gucci purses. Okay, before we pivot fully into hockey, just want to remind everyone to hit subscribe, leave us 5 stars, and then write us a review. It can be constructive, it can be mean, it can be nice, it can be anything you want it to be, and we will read them all this week.
Lots of fun hockey going on, lots of white dudes on skates running into each other at full speed. Let's do that hockey. Come on.
So hockey, we're going to try something a little bit different, and it's Mal's idea and we love it. We're going to start talking about all the hockey topics as being either hot or not. So this week we're going to start with hot. Mal, do you want to kick it off?
Okay, we initially had put Carter Hart on our hot list and we were planning this yesterday, but unfortunately he has had a horrible night against the Habs. He had 2 shutouts though when we put this on the list. He had 2 shutouts. He shut out Carey Price on his birthday. I mean, shutting out your childhood hero, great. It was an incredible thing. But then today he straight up got quasi-pulled. He got pulled and then they challenged the goal and then they just put him back out there. Which, like, what does that do to your psyche? I don't even know.
And then Nick Suzuki proceeded to score on him again.
Yeah.
Which, and it counted.
But honestly, like, he hasn't been playing, he wasn't playing well, but it was mostly the Flyers defense fault. So I'll still say that he is hot. Because also, I always respect my fellow Leos.
Next on the hot list, Ryan O'Reilly.
I find it funny how people are kind of surprised, but it's like, he won the Conn Smythe, he won the Selke. What more did he need to do? Like, he was always this good. Why is it surprising?
I would not have bet, though, when Ryan O'Reilly was an Avalanche. I don't know that I would have bet that Ryan O'Reilly would end up being significantly better than Matt Duchene.
Matt Duchene is the funniest story. We need to, like, do something that's just, like, the, like, tale of Matt Duchene. Him being, like, genuinely a locker room cancer in Colorado.
Sitting at home watching the Avs win 2 back-to-back 7-1 games.
When even, like, Columbus making it into the playoffs.
Oh, he's yeah. That was our baby! Our baby scored! Tyler Mott!
I'm tweeting! No one tweet! Quote Claire Stewart, a goal? But regarding Tyler Mott.
Dude, that was so sick.
Can we get
sick.
The recording of that? Because that was really spaggy as
fuck. Yes.
I can't
absolutely get the recording.
I just thought about, like, oh, that was probably just so, like, awful. Just and then screaming our
son!
I was so confused. I was like, who is she talking about?
That was, like, that there. I was like, that could apply to so many people.
I
was like,
my first thought, Quinn? Okay. Is this Petey? Who was your first thought when she said our son?
I was like, Stetcher?
Stetcher.
Quinn.
Okay, mine was Quinn. They're all our sons. Where were we? Nathan McKinnon has been super hot, starting with ragdolling Christian Fisher and just basically throwing him around. I'm pretty sure he's shorter than Christian Fisher. He looked like he was just going to destroy him. And then he's just been, I don't even know how many goals he scored. Actually, you know who's hot is not Nathan McKinnon. It's Nazem Kadri.
I saw an article. I don't know if it was an article, but someone wrote, Nazem Kadri is the number 2 center that Toronto has been looking for. You're a little late for that.
I think they said he has like the same number of points in this for the Avs this year as he did the entire time he was in Toronto in playoffs. Last on the hot list, which is good timing, Jordan Binnington losing his starter position, which we realize happened like last week, but it's still.
I miss him because it's so fun to cyberbully him. It was just so joyful to see PD clown on him and get back at him for those Calder comments. And also, we were playing better and scoring.
I miss digging up his old tweets and slightly modifying them for the humor of Canucks Twitter. But it is funny, you know that meme with the Flash and the grave where Grant Gustin is like showing the peace sign with the grave? Grant Gustin was Canucks Twitter and the grave was Jordan Binnington. As if as if Canucks Twitter was so the reason good. Why he got pulled out.
It is unfortunate because Jake Allen's tweets are so boring. Like, I actually went back and 90% of them are about traffic. Him stuck in traffic. He'd be like, oh, there's lots of traffic on this street. Dude, come on, give us something.
Pivoting into not hot,
not hot is Boston being Boston. Boston eliminated Carolina today, which I don't remember who called that. I didn't. Mal called it.
I mean, like, none of my other predictions were, like, correct, so I'll take this one. But they are good. They're evil. They did try to kill Svetch and Jordan Stahl.
The Svechnikov injury was gross. And I just want to say, like, stop showing us close-ups, close-up replays. I don't need to see bones breaking. It's so gross. I saw they replayed the, I think it was the Tyler Ennis injury last night. And it's just like, I don't want to see this man who has like his leg snapped in half trying to skate off the ice. That is disgusting. So gross.
Can we do like 30 seconds on how everyone's always like, Zdeno Chara is such a good guy. It's like, no. Zdeno Chara is just really good at intentionally murdering people and making it be like, oh, I'm just really tall and I like bumped him. Like, no, you tried to murder him.
See, Paul Maurice, that's premeditated.
Premeditated. Not hot, Jake Virtanen.
Right before we were recording, we were talking about Jake Virtanen just getting so many chances. Like, every single thing he does on the ice just is incorrect. Like, we were saying that he would have a better situation if he just went against his instinct every single time.
He's been playing, like, what, 5-6 minutes a game? Why? Like, what's the point of having him in the lineup if you're not even going to play him?
I mean, the thing is, he hasn't even been bad this series. He's just not good. Like, he's just kind of there. And I find it super irritating that I've been wanting Gaudet to go in for a while, but I am really irritated that they took out Zach MacEwen and not Jake.
And you know he's not doing too well when his own brother can't come to his defense on Twitter.
He can search out all the names.
If and when Jake gets traded, will Stefan Virtanen still fight other fans, or is he exclusively fighting locals?
I think he'll ride for Jake no matter where he goes.
That man loves a 50 tweet thread. Fight thread with randoms. He will go
slow day at the dealership.
The West was slow day at the dealership.
I mean, okay, here's the thing. Everyone's always like, oh, everyone in Vancouver is so mean to Jake, blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's not even true. Like, he's just polarizing. There's half the people are like, Jake's not very good and he's kind of lazy on the ice and he has terrible instincts. And the other half of people are like, he's going to be a power forward. Guys, it's been 6 years since he's been drafted. It's not going to happen. Like, and being realistic about it isn't being mean to Jake.
He doesn't even have like the hockey smarts to be a consistent good hockey player. And I think people are missing that.
And if you're not going to be intelligent, you better try your ass off all over the ice.
It's also just like the people who are haunted by the phantom of Cam Neely. And they think that that's going to happen again. Like, Jake Virtanen's not Cam Neely.
Oh, St. Louis scored again. Ryan O'Reilly. Okay, I have a really funny meme that I'm going to tweet out about Ryan O'Reilly.
So our hot or not so far is really on point because Ryan O'Reilly just scored. And the next not hot on our list is the Canucks generally since we last recorded. I think the last time the Canucks were good is when we recorded last Wednesday. It's just been all downhill from there. We were talking about this before we recorded, but people who are like, they're tied 2-2 with the defending champs. Like, we should be positive about it. Yeah. Okay, positive in the sense that we were really bad for the last 4 or 5 years, and this has been a massive improvement, and that's great. But I may have been scrolling through some old tweets from people in like January and February, including one that was like, I think that Vegas is our biggest obstacle to come out of the West, but Vegas is not better than the Canucks. And this was in response to another tweet about how people believe Vegas is stronger than the Canucks, but the teams are closer than you think. And I don't see how you can watch Vegas, the Blues even, and I don't think the Blues have been anywhere near Vegas or Colorado, but I don't see how you watch Vegas or Colorado over the last week and you're like, the Canucks are super comparable to these two teams. And the best evidence of this is I tweeted this, and I'm actually going to say his name this time, and you don't have to bleep it out. I don't care, because he already said he doesn't listen to us. But Adrian Pooley responded to me and was like, no one would say that. Like, Vegas has been crushing the Canucks. So, like, good take, Adrian. And then he was like, you should expose these people. So I sent him one of the DMs. And this is Adrian's response. Okay, yikes. That's a bit much, even for me. You should share these. These are too funny.
I'm just looking at Vanessa's face right now.
Vanessa's face the entire time we're recording is just like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh no, I'm concentrating on something else right now. What did I had saved by it.
What meme did you tweet?
Oh, I just tweeted it.
From your account or from broadcast?
Yeah, from mine.
We're all just going to look.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. That's so good.
Thank you.
True. Also not hot refereeing generally. I was gonna say like the Kotkaniemi, why can't I even say his name today? Kotkaniemi hit was like not even remotely close to anything that Pierre-Luc Dubois did in the Tampa Columbus game today. He's been out of
control. Oh yeah, Kotkaniemi. He got a 5-minute major and then he got a game misconduct. He was out. And it was like, it was boarding, but so many other things have been boarding that at that point, like, literally, what are you doing? Why are you calling that? It was like it was more minor than anything they haven't called.
I think that the playoffs is the time when it shouldn't be lax. Like, you should be calling things more closely because there's more on the line. Like, I'm totally, if it's in the rule book, you call it. Like, I wish that every penalty was like the high sticking. If there's blood, you call an extra 2 minutes. If you don't, then it's just easy. Like, just call it. It drives me insane. Like in the Minnesota series when, I can't remember who did it, but they cleared the stick. The player dropped the stick and then they pushed it out of the way. And that's a penalty. Like, they pushed it into the field of play and that's a penalty. Not with 2 minutes left in the third period. Like, call it. You can't not call it.
The whole thing of the playoffs is they'll always be like, oh, it's like a different like refereeing style in the playoffs. And it's like, why the fuck should it be? Like, there is a rule book. This is supposed to be consistent. And also, if you're going to even make it more lax, make it more lax across the board. Like, refereeing has just been bullshit as usual.
Yeah, I mean, I hate the makeup calls.
Oh, the makeup calls are the worst.
It makes me insane. Call a penalty if it's a penalty.
The funniest thing, though, and we tweeted this, was Vince Dunn posted on his Discord after game 4. I don't even remember what he said. It was like, why are they calling so many penalties? It's playoffs. Just let them play. And it was like 1:36 a.m. I'm like, you went home to the hotel and got on your Discord to complain about the refs.
Well, and also because the thing is, when you don't call it, it turns into like last playoffs where they had to just straight up just like alter a bunch of things because they fucked up so bad with that 5-minute like major with the Sharks. Yeah. You literally, like, you need to make it so you don't have to answer for yourself later.
I think the referees should have to do a game report like they do in the NBA, or like answer questions or have some kind of transparency or accountability, because right now they can just do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
These really are the days of our lives.
You don't need that show. It was just a dumb soap opera.
We have a lot of soap operas this week, guys. We started our planning session yesterday with a pretty short list, which was basically Tuukka Rask and Brandon Prust and all the Boston media guys. And then overnight, in the last 18 hours, there have been an unbelievable number of really fucking shitty takes from hockey men. So we'll get started. We'll do it in chronological order with Tuukka Rask leaving the bubble. I don't know who wants to run that one down.
Everyone, obviously, he's allowed to just leave. I don't see what the problem is in general. And also, we're not entitled to like knowledge about Tuukka Rask's child and their health or whatever. If he just says that he needs to be with his family, that should be enough. And like, I know that like today or something, it came out about like his wife called him and like his daughter was sick maybe, but we don't need that information. He should be able to leave. It's just hockey.
Dude, he could have literally been like, yeah, I don't like the bubble. It's really bad for my mental health. Peace out. And I've been like, cool. That's what I would have done.
That's fine. And I would be fine with that with anybody from any team. Like, it's not even just me hating the Bruins and like wanting them to fail in everything.
We don't even like Tuukka Rask. That's the thing that annoys me the most about this entire thing, is I've had to spend my entire week trying to fucking defend Tuukka Rask.
I don't want
to
do that.
No, me neither.
He wears a fucking Boston police hat. I don't want to defend him.
Exactly.
He was also in the Finnish army. I found that out
Yeah, he did time in the Finnish Army. What started this whole thing off was he wasn't playing very well. And then 6 days ago, as of the time of recording, he said, after they lost 3-2 to the Hurricanes, quote, "It doesn't really feel like playoff hockey right now. There's no fans," end quote. And people took that as like, oh, he's complaining about the bubble. He's complaining about this. And then 2 days later after that, he left. And a bunch of people were like, he's just leaving because he's not playing well and he doesn't like the bubble. And then Boston sports fans being Boston sports fans went insane and started going nuts about gender, basically, and being like, he's not man enough. Like, he needs to show up for his teammates. Can't believe he's going home to his family. Blah, 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 which is just like classic slide back into men at work, women at home.
Why is like not like also protecting your family in general and being there for your like child and family not like masculine enough for you?
Well, it's because they just see the players as like objects of entertainment, right? Yeah. Like, they don't see them as human beings. Yeah.
But it's not even just the fans. Then you get like Galaxy Brain Brandon Prust taking a little break between Hidden Figures viewings, being like, oh, he's leaving the troops in the trenches. It's like, shut the fuck up, Brandon Prust.
He's the worst. He's actually
literally, when people just like start comparing sports to war, it's like, it's not that serious. Like, our entire like podcast, like, the main tenet is it's not that serious. Sports have lots of impact on like various things in life, but also it's just sports. Like, you guys need to calm down. It doesn't matter. Just go home. If he just didn't want to be there, just go home. You don't owe anybody anything.
Do we have the Jack Edwards tweet? Why can't I find it? Did he delete it?
Ugh. He deleted it, I think. And I don't think I screenshotted it.
He blocked me for some reason. I don't know why.
You've been blocked by Jack Edwards. Fuck, I keep calling him John Edwards.
John Edwards is the senator with the love child.
I know.
It's always funny when Vanessa gets blocked by someone, because you're so likable. Yeah. And you're not very controversial.
No, I'm not.
So it's shocking.
I would love, we should do a poll one day of our listeners, asking them to rank us in order of most likely to have the highest number of blocks to least. And Vanessa would be the clear winner. Maybe Danny. Danny might give her a run for
her. You don't tweet that much.
I think I would be the least, because I just don't argue with people that often.
One of my favorite tweets was when Gora Jack Greg was like, Vanessa brings a lot to Canucks Twitter, but I still don't like her.
That's fine, because in the same tweet, that was the one where he was like, you bring nothing. And I was like, yeah, I'm just a bitch. It's fine. I don't care.
Cool.
Okay, Gora Jack.
Being a bitch is a talent, okay? It's fine.
Oh, I want to find this Jack
Edwards. I found it. Tweet. Okay. So Jack Edwards. Oh, this is about Svechnikov, not about Rask. Did he say something about Rask too?
He said something about Rask, I thought too. Didn't he?
It was Haggerty said something about Rask. I don't know. There are so many shitty Boston media people that I can't keep track of them. Like, it's mind blowing that these people still have jobs and Marissa doesn't. It's bullshit. Jack Edwards, after the Svechnikov injury, tweeted, "What NBC hasn't shown yet regarding the unfortunate injury to Svechnikov." Is it Svechnikov or Svechnikov?
Svechnikov.
The Carolina wing playing hobby horse, riding Chara on the back apron of the goal. You poke the bear, you take your chances. No one wanted to see Svechnikov hurt, but he bit off more than he could chew. Like, first of all, it was Aho, not Svechnikov. Like, you don't even know who you're talking about. But also, it's a stupid tweet, regardless of who it was. By the way, the other funny thing I learned this week was that Dougie Hamilton had blocked every single member of Boston media. Like, none of them can follow him on Twitter.
Okay, so this is the Brandon Prust little meltdown thing. So he started with saying, "I feel like the NHL has done an amazing job of the bubble and keeping everyone safe. Wouldn't Tuukka Rask be safer in the bubble than out? I know he has a newborn, but that baby won't know who he is for another 6 months. Lol, maybe more underlying stuff we don't know about." And then people like attacked him, obviously, rightfully so. And then he said, a lot of players with newborns that are staying to do their job, in brackets, Bo Horvat example, and stick with their troops in the war. And Rask has had two newborns before, lol. I understand your take, but I think you can also understand my take a little at least. I liked friend of the pod, Maha. I think her handle is at Mahe. Noted that Bread and Press charity is Prusty for kids. He just doesn't care about children, clearly.
He doesn't care about them until they're like 1 year old. He's like, you know what? Interacting with your newborn, like bonding with your child, it's fine. Don't do it. Until they can acknowledge you, no.
By the way, the replies to that tweet, outrageous. People were losing their shit in the replies. I can't even remember. I think I had a rage blackout when I read them, and I've blocked them all from my memory, but if anyone wants to go scroll through those replies, it's just massholes being massholes.
And then fast forward to today, Tuukka Rask was on, I think, a Boston sports radio show and revealed that his daughter had a medical emergency and he went home for that. And which, as Mal said, like, none of us needed to know. That was none of our business at all. We forgot also, good friend of the show, Mike Milbury, also commented on Tuukka Rask.
Of course he did.
And he said, nobody simply opted out to leave the bubble just because they didn't want to be here and they needed to be with their family. I would not have done it. The rest of the league's players have not done it. He's just the worst. Just the worst.
It makes you really not wonder why people don't come out about their mental health problems more. Like, disaster this is.
Mike Milbury doesn't get to criticize anyone about making emotional decisions because he tried to hit a fan with his shoe.
Shut the fuck up, Mike.
Shut up. No one cares. So the responses to the Greg Hill show, the first response here is, my problem is the way he handled it. He didn't tell Cassidy or his teammates, but he texted Dale Arnold and told him. And then like 50 of the replies are like, he played golf yesterday. Must have been a my daughter is going to live party.
Well, like that Mets guy, it's a Mets player. He just straight up just didn't even show up to the game, cleared out his hotel room and left. And I respect that too. I don't care. Leave however you want. Literally just text your manager and be like, I'm not coming. I hate this here. I hate it here. It sucks.
You see this all the time though, especially like in baseball, when people go on paternity leave. And fans like flip their shit out about these guys going on paternity leave. It happened with Daniel Hudson, who missed game one of, I guess it was the NLCS, because he wanted to watch his wife give birth to his daughter. And people freaked out. And it's like what Vanessa was saying. They just see these people as like, zoo animals that they can just poke, be like, no, you have to pitch today.
Yeah, they don't see them as like anything other than, you know, just like they don't think that they have lives outside of, like, somebody had tweeted something about how Tuukka Rask, they're like, obviously his like main focus isn't hockey, and it's like, why does it matter? Like, my main focus is not work.
Yeah, and it's like we've said this before, we are pro leaving the bubble. It does not seem like that much fun. They're having just like slumber parties in the, like, did you see the thing where they had the TV set up with the fake fireplace and like one was a golf channel? Like, that does not look fun to me to have to do for 3 months and whatever. There's a Stanley Cup, but it does not, like, I would go nuts, I think. These moments with Tuukka Rask and the whole conversation that goes around them really illustrates is how archaic hockey culture is in terms of even being equipped to discuss this stuff. Like, the amount of takes from people and people in the hockey community who just are in these positions of authority, they're just these old white men who have, they just regurgitate the same, like, I called it on Twitter, it's Victorian gender ideology. And you see in those moments, like, that's how backwards and far behind we are. And then you just have to think, like, oh man, we have so much shit to break down if we're even going to progress to the point to talk about like race or any other issues of social justice, if we can't even talk about a man who wants to leave to go home for his sick child. Like, that's how.
And I think that, like, everyone should listen to Thomas Drance's rant on 1040 from a couple days ago over the weekend. He just like went off on all the guys in the media saying like, you guys have the power and you guys aren't doing anything to like help change like the culture around it.
Can we talk? This is perfect timing to talk about Eric DeHotchek today and his tweet, because this plays into what Drance was talking about. So The Athletic, I think Craig Custance was the person who did the article, but they did the top 40 under 40. And it was just a group of the kind of, I guess, cutting edge people. It had like Jeremy Colleton and Kyle Dubas, but it also had Namita and had
Danny Chu.
Yeah, Danny Chu. Like it had actually, I think it was like three or four people from the Kraken, which is really impressive and great.
And an 18-year-old who was number 40, who is, I think he goes to McGill and he's a hockey ops intern with the Golden Knights.
Okay, that makes me feel depressed and old. They did this NHL hockey 40 under 40. Great. Cutting edge, young people coming in. And then Eric DeHotchek decided to tweet, to quote tweet the article, he's also a writer at The Athletic, quote tweet the article and say, I love this concept and its execution, but I also have a question. Would anyone read a version framed as 60 over 60? The contributions people who would normally be approaching retirement age are making to the game? Since ageism is rampant nowadays, I suspect the answer is no. What? What are you talking about? And then one of my favorite people on Twitter, also known as at Decolonize Hockey, responded to DeHatchek's thread and said, what exactly are we supposed to praise your generation for? The racism, misogyny, sexual abuse, and homophobia? The fact that y'all have made this sport inaccessible almost to the point of irrelevance? Pray tell. And then she says a Spanish word that I can't pronounce, so I'm not going to. But it's true, like, what we just need to sit around and praise the old white men, like the people that Drance was ripping, just being there, like, deplatform old hockey men.
It's also hilarious because we talked about this a while ago, but like we looked at the PHWA writer numbers and it's like there's very, very little female representation. It is basically all old white men. So it's like you don't need to be recognized. You are literally everywhere. If you look at the Hockey Hall of Fame selection committee, also all old white men. I think the Hockey Hall of Fame selection committee has had one woman since 1958.
They have the power to make the changes too. It's funny to me because I see even in Vancouver, a lot of people saying, oh, they want equality, they support us, they support all this shit, and they have the opportunities to give women more voices, put them on the air, things like that, and they don't. And we see you. We hear you talking, and we see your no action.
It's also this stupid argument of like, well, there's no qualified women to do it. Yeah, there is. You're not looking hard enough.
There's time.
The need to create this kind of like, I think I said manufactured oppression, but I just think the ageism argument is so dumb because it's young people that experience ageism in hockey culture, like in the hockey realm. It's like, oh no, they're too young. Or like Kyle Dubas, people, he's too young. Like, that's ageism too.
On the topic of old white men, so nice little pivot to the KKK. Georgia, do you wanna give us the rundown?
Yeah. So basically today what happened was during the Colorado Avalanche game, Nathan MacKinnon scored a goal and the Avs decided to tweet from their account, their Instagram, Mac, like MacKinnon, M-A-C, capital K, goes, and then it's back to back because I guess he scored two goals. But all the K's in the sentence are capitalized. And there's three K's, so it's KKK. And it's clear that they're just trying to do, like, an homage to MacKinnon. But also, that should never have seen the light of day. And I don't understand how you could be that checked out of whatever that you think, like, even just glancing at that, me as a white person in Canada who's not super tied to the KKK, like, dog whistle or whatever, sees that and goes,
it's not clear to me, and I'm somebody that, like, has like a Mick and then another capitalized letter. It was not clear. I did not understand what they were doing. McKinnon, like, I guess, yeah, the K is capitalized in McKinnon.
It's just so obvious that it's KKK. Like, you could show that to anyone and they'd be like, why are there three Ks capitalized? Anyway, this was pointed out. I saw this from, like, probably my favorite Twitter follow, who is at @AirSignMenace, tweeted it and just saying Jesus Christ. And then, she, alongside @NotAFan_Joe, another really good Twitter follow, were tweeting about it, saying, like, yes, the caption wasn't intentional, but it's just so reflective of the league's lack of cultural competency. Like, there's clearly not a person of color in that social media team, or I don't actually know how these tweets get kind of approved, but the fact that that didn't even cross their mind is something that's, it's a racist dog whistle. And for Black fans who have to experience that and read that, it's terrible. And you can see where the gaps of knowledge are, or just general, yeah, I think there's a competency. And then they changed it twice. I can't remember what the first one was, but the second was just dog, because his name is like Nate Dog or whatever.
Yeah, they changed it, and they made the K's in back-to-back lowercase. And then they just changed it to dog.
My favorite part of that whole interaction with Danielle, who's at @AirSignMenace, was there was a woman who had a Black Lives Matter picture in her avatar, and she fought her about it being bad. Like, it doesn't mean KKK. There's lots of words in between. Like, this is totally fine. No. They're unbelievable. Anyway, that's what Colorado did today.
Fuck. Speaking of social media, Vanessa has a little social media soap opera for us.
Last week, if you're on Canucks Twitter, you probably saw it. After JT Miller scored, I think it was game two, the Canucks basically put some fans on blast who previously criticized the trade when it happened. And then a lot of people started calling them out, saying you're exposing them to, like, harmful DMs and harassment and all that. And I've thought about this quite a bit because I have been interested in how teams conduct their social media. Wendy's can trash their haters because that's the brand they've built for themselves and they've worked on creating that identity. But the Canucks haven't done that. Like, they're not one to be sassy or petty on Twitter. And then so when they did post that and called out fans, I think most people, or maybe not most, but a lot of people were like, where did that come from? We've never seen this kind of sass from you guys before. It's funny. I got into like a little Twitter fight with actually someone who works for the Canucks. I'm not going to say his name. But after I posted saying, I get what they were trying to do, I would have done it differently, he proceeded to call me soft. And then he unfollowed me.
He didn't just call you soft. He technically tweeted the, like, baby and the bottle emoji.
Yeah. And then he unfollowed me. And then after that, he started liking tweets at me that he was not involved in, where people were saying, oh, like, just get over it. We don't care, blah, blah, blah. I just thought it was hilarious that, like, I guess I set him off by not even saying, oh, they shouldn't have. They were so in the wrong here. I just said, like, they should have done it differently. And then I guess kind of transitioning. I know a lot of people say, oh, I wish the Canucks would be more like the Hurricanes or the Kings on social, but the reason why the Canes and the Kings have been able to build that brand is because in the States, they don't need to worry as much about maintaining that good identity, that really friendly identity, whereas in Canada, they do want to try and make sure that they're inclusive and all that, and they don't want kids seeing them being sassy on Twitter. So it is a trend on, like, amongst all Canadian teams, like, none of them are sassy, not even the Leafs, and the Leafs, they do social pretty well, but no teams would push major jabs at other teams. And also in Carolina, the Hurricanes are pretty secondary in that market, I think. They have the Hornets and the Panthers to compete with. Not even compete with, but they don't really care because it's like, we're just having fun. Doesn't matter. But in Vancouver, hockey is, in Canada, actually, hockey is part of the identity. And they do need to maintain that good Canadian vibe.
I totally get what you're saying. And I agree, that's the identity that they think they need to have. But it's, again, like, so archaic. And if they actually wanted to broaden their brand and reach out to younger fans, to people who aren't necessarily like old stock hockey people, that's how they do it. So it's just like, it's one of those really weird things where you see why they're doing it, but it's just wrong.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of why I like Canucks Twitter so much, is because there are so many voices who post. They're kind of doing the Canucks job for them, to be honest. And
yeah,
there is a mix of throwing shade, but there's also, there are ways to be cheeky without being petty, I guess. And the Canucks, they just don't realize that, at least in my opinion.
There's petty good and there's petty bad. Like, the Canes do petty good really well. Yeah. But petty bad is when, is that tweet.
Yeah. So I do, I'm not going to reveal anything, any sources or anything, but so I will say that the unicorn emoji, Memoji tweet, that was not Derek Jory. Derek Jory is part of a team that runs their social media. So they don't really have, and like, I'm not one to judge them or anything, but they don't have that one person who kind of maintains their brand on social. They're just a bunch of people who are saying, oh, like, I'm going to post this right now.
That's what we do. And ours is better. Even when we tweet, Tyler Mott is king, like, six times in a row.
And I don't know. I wish they would take it as more of a marketing opportunity, because like I said before, it does seem like Canucks Twitter is kind of doing their job for them. And like, I just wanted to give a shout out to Mr. Booth, Azadeh, and even like Anna Forsyth and Vivian Huang. So many people are pushing out like a lot of cool memes and everything. And when I'm personally, when I'm thinking about stuff to tweet, I'm like, damn, why didn't the Canucks think of this? It's so easy to just backpack off a trend right now, but they don't do it. And it's because they want to keep up that vibe, that Canadian vibe. Anyways, yeah.
That's one of the things that really annoyed me about that entire conversation, though, where when people are like, oh, you guys just don't want to be dunked on, whatever. They take so much shit from you guys. And like, now that they're giving it back, it's like, okay, well, first of all, they're a massive platform. So that's just a bullshit straw man. But second of all, we can comment on the business side of things. This is not an attack on the team. They're not the team. They're not on the ice. And people can have interest in sports media and sports marketing. And it's a valid criticism if you're not doing a good job of social media.
And like, I've written papers on it too. And it's just like, they don't get it. You know, they're too traditional. They're not thinking like, oh, what do people want to see, rather than like, what do we need to put out? You know,
I would sacrifice anything not to have to watch another one of the stupid soccer videos. Like, the Elias Pettersson one today was like, that's cool. But I don't care about the like super long ones of them just kicking a ball.
Another thing I hate that really bugs me is when they put out tweets with no words, just emojis.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, where, like,
oh my God.
That is the laziest thing you could ever do. Yeah. You know? Anyways, yeah, Canucks hire me. Yeah, I just trashed them, but.
Oh, yeah. Last soap opera of the night. Gord Miller. After game two, notwithstanding that the Canucks' track record of being up 2-0 in playoff series is atrocious, so bad. And like, the number of people who were doing victory laps after 2 games being like, you guys didn't think they were contenders. I was like, it's game two. Like, does no one remember Nick Lidstrom? I don't understand what's happening here. Like, shut the fuck up. Gord Miller tweets that he thinks some Canucks fans owe Jim Benning an apology.
No, we do not. I'm going to say especially because I wrote those pieces on Jim Benning and I had a lot of old men in my DMs just saying awful things to me and telling me how I don't know anything at all. So, you know what? Screw you, Gordon Miller. I'm not apologizing. And why should we? We're still right. We're still going to be in cap hell as soon as the season's over. We're going to still have to deal with these shitty-ass contracts. What's the bottom six looking like? That's not going to fix itself. What's the defense going to look like? You look like trash this game. Like, who do we have
Do we have Jack Rathbone coming up? Like, is he supposed to be good and plug in right away? I don't know. I'm not apologizing.
I just want to say that this is such a typical, sorry to return to our theme, old white man thing. Like, you think you deserve an apology because you won two fucking playoff games? Like, get out of here. That is bare minimum. Like, that is nothing. That's not a win.
I don't understand this whole, like, millennials, like, want participation trophies. You are the one who wants a participation trophy. Are you joking?
Like, when,
shut
when
up.
People are like, oh, you guys are so mean to him on Twitter every day. Like, sorry, I'm not, like, tagging him. I'm not calling him and giving him critical feedback. I'm just venting my emotions about my team on Twitter, and that's not.
And, like, to people saying that he's such a nice guy, you can be a wonderful person and still shit at your job. That's, you can be those things. They're not mutually exclusive.
So. I'm not even telling Jim to get a thicker skin because I don't think he gives a shit what we're saying on Twitter. Like, everyone else who's getting offended on his behalf, who doesn't even know him, and he doesn't know you exist, just, like, fucking relax.
Tyler Mott, oh my god, on a breakaway!
Wait, Tyler Mott? Tyler Mott on a breakaway.
Mott's going
this again. Is our impact. Our impact.
Okay, so in honor of Tuukka Rask leaving the bubble for his kid and all the new dads in the bubble who apparently are scoring tons of goals, this week's Name 5 Players is, if you're such a big hockey fan, name 5 players who are DILFs.
Okay, this is the OG DILF. This is my vote. Justin Williams. Justin Williams.
That's a great one.
Absolute DILF. RIP, he just got out with the Canes, but he doesn't care. He's going to go home to his multiple cups. And
I thought it was cute that Rod Brind'Amour put him out for like the last 40 seconds of the game. Classy move. Danny.
Gave him an A as well when he put him out there. It's very cute. I'm going to go with another OG, the King, Henrik Lundqvist. He is a definite DILF. Always giving the DILF vibes. GQ. Even when he's just sitting on the bench, he's hot as fuck. Dill.
Nessa.
I'm going with someone who's retired now, who is on my TV actually relatively frequently, in Patrick Sharp, who I believe should play Prince Eric from The Little Mermaid in a live-action remake.
That is a great casting call.
We need to do a Patrick Sharp episode with the Ice
Patrick
Girls.
Patrick Sharp's Hot Girl Summer.
That's going into foundational drama. Foundational drama is going to be a series. Georgia DILF.
Mine is like, I don't think when we were brainstorming this, we discussed like the ILF doesn't necessarily have to count. My pick is Claude Giroux. And mainly just,
he is a great father.
He's a great father. He loves his son. His wife is like one of my favorite people to follow on Instagram. She's a great wag. Love you, Ryan. And yeah, their son is extra cute, Gavin.
He has so much gritty stuff. He has like a little gritty hat. It's so cute. He has a little gritty backpack. I love him. I love Gavin.
My DILF is going to be, I'm going to go kind of in the same vein as Georgia. I'm going Gabe Landeskog.
Oh, good choice.
Because his daughter is super cute and he posts about her all the time.
Gabe Landeskog is so hot.
Yeah. I know. I am fulfilling the requirement of DILF.
Oh.
I'm taking the ILF.
Claude Giroux isn't hot.
I'm taking the ILF part very seriously.
I was taking not the ILF part.
Handsome. Claude Giroux is definitely handsome. He used to look like kind of a gremlin, but
he's aged into it for sure.
He's gotten better with age, which is an important part of being a DILF, is getting better with age.
My favorite, like, Gabe Landeskog fact is when he was, I think it was like draft combine, and he was at H&M and he got scouted to model.
As he should be. I also love, the thing I love about Gabe Landeskog's daughter is that Eric Johnson is basically like her godfather, and he posts the sappiest things about her, which you don't expect from EJ, and it's glorious. And like, I love them. They're adorable. Okay, so before we sign off,
Special shout out to this week's 31 thoughts, which I gave no thought to, and I'm actually surprised. You know what? I'm going to go with my OG thought, Tyler Seguin, because I'm surprised it's taken us this long. Interact with us on Twitter and Instagram at BroadcastPod or email us at BroadcastPod@gmail.com. We love chatting with you guys and we want to hear your feedback on what you liked, disliked, and any other content you want to see or hear. If you're listening to this on Friday, we're going to do Ask the Broads over the weekend. So make sure you send in any questions you have. Send us anything you want to talk about. You can find us on Twitter.
I'm at Vanessa Dring.
I'm at SamanthaCP underscore.
Sports_lesbian.
I'm at Georgia Twist.
And I'm at Danny Huntley.
On behalf of the Broads, thanks, and we'll talk to you next week, and hopefully the Canucks are still playing.